to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea,
we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. Delighted, as I always say, to be behind the WBR microphone talking to you for 3 hours today as we share our common sense conservative views of the world. And I'm pretty sure where I'm going to go today in the opening monologue is not where you're going to expect. Title of today's show, We Are Living Right Now Among Cowards. It's like a clown show. It's a circus with cowards. Adults not stepping up and doing the right thing because they are afraid. And we need to drill down on this because it's reached epidemic levels in this country, my friends. And it's put far too many people at risk. And we're going to walk through it. Interesting stories, interesting sound bites, multiple sound bites that are going to tell the story of just crazy town USA. And our fight to get it back. All right? So welcome aboard. Pull up a chair. Join us. Bring a friend. And thank you for being a part of what we do here. I appreciate you personally. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. It seems as though we live in a culture today, and it's happened quickly, and I find it very alarming. This culture is mimicking what we are seeing in the halls of Congress, where I believe there is a blackmail kind of bribery apparatus that is pervasive in so much of life. And it's so unhealthy. It's so unhealthy. And it's everywhere. We have been browbeaten by watching other people crash and burn on social media, lose their jobs, be vilified, be doxxed, be lied about, be thrown in prison for 18 to 22 years because. And we have a culture of intimidation where the grownups in the room are not standing up and are not taking action. In this culture of cowardice, we allow a few malignant voices try to tell us what normal is. And yet everything we're going through is completely abnormal. You can't make victimizing children, putting our kids in danger in any capacity, you can't normalize that. Because the common sense fighter, the defender, the protector in every parent, which I believe is baked into who we are, whether it's protecting an animal, protecting a child, protecting an elderly person from getting robbed or something, we all, I believe, have within us an innate decision. It is fight, it is freeze, and it is flee. Which one are you? When you see something wrong going on, what do you take action? Do you instantly think about what you can do to fix the problem? Do you get involved, or do you freeze? Do you stand there almost paralyzed, unsure what to do, worried about the consequences? It's all going through your mind and you just do nothing. Or do you flee? Do you run away from the situation? No, you're going to fall into one of those three categories, and you won't know until you're in a position to do something. The reason why I'm talking about this today, this normalizing the abuse of our children, particularly in school, has got to stop. When we send our kids on the school bus or we drop them off, it is understood to the adults at that campus that we are entrusting our children to them. But what happens when those adults are cowards? What happens when those adults are too afraid of the circus world in which we all live to take action? What happens when it's your child who slips through the cracks? There's a story I'm going to bring you later in the broadcast. It's about a middle school student in eastern Pennsylvania who begged and pleaded for help and witnessed something no child, none of us, should witness. And it brought me back to one specific instance that woke me up to this whole weird world we're in, where we victimize the vulnerable, we punish the protectors, we use the weak, some people do, and intimidate the questioning. And it takes me back to Loudoun County, Virginia, to that high school where that young woman was raped in a bathroom by a young male student pretending to be a transgender, wearing a skirt, raping her in the bathroom. It was such a sordid tale, and the cover-up was so bad, there was a grand jury investigation. Ladies and gentlemen, I found that grand jury report. Didn't make splashy headlines. It's 92 pages long, and I want to read something to you because this is where my ire is today, talking about this circus world we live in with cowards. After investigating what happened to this young woman, who this kid was who raped her, how the teachers covered it up, how the administration covered it up, how they lied to the media, they lied in a school board meeting, and arrested the father for showing up at that school board meeting to say, "You are not putting our kids in the right path. My daughter was raped." They arrested him, dragged him off, and splashed his picture all over the world as some fringe right-wing wacko parent. I want to read you from the executive summary. It's one page. Just so you know where we're coming from today, all right? Grand jury report into this incident. On May 12th, 2021, less than 4 weeks after students returned to in-person school from the pandemic, a teaching assistant at that school in Loudoun County wrote to her superiors about one of her students, the guy, the assailant in this case, stating in part, "If this kind of reckless behavior persists, I wouldn't want to be held accountable if someone should get hurt." Teachers knew kid was a problem. 16 days later, that student sexually assaulted a female student in the girls' bathroom at the high school. For nearly 3 hours after that happened, that child, that boy, not a child, that boy was missing at large on the campus. At around 2:15, the father of the girl who was assaulted arrived at the school, obviously upset to learn what had happened to his daughter. He became very loud after initially being denied entry into the building. "How dare you? My child was assaulted and you're going to keep me out? How is this any different from the Jewish professor at Columbia University being kept out of the campus?" Shortly after 2:30 p.m., the father had been escorted from this school. The individual who committed the sexual assault was still at large. They still didn't find the kid. During this time, the Stonebridge principal reached out to the superintendent's office about getting a no trespass letter against the dad. They didn't try to find the kid who raped the girl. They went after the dad. The chief operating officer arrived at the school that afternoon, talked with the principal. By 3:30, he sent an email to the superintendent and other senior staff stating in full, "The incident at the high school is related to a policy 8040. I will send a Teams appointment and we will get some updates for you soon." Do you want to know what an 8040 is? Policy 8040 addresses the rights of transgender and gender expansive students. They were worried about the optics. Trampling on a kid who was using this ridiculous chapter in American history to go out and terrorize a female student. And the staff and the principal and the school superintendent were such cowards. They didn't do anything. They lied. They went after the father. And they allowed that child to get bounced to another school in the district where he did it again. These are not complicated issues. Wrong is wrong. You should be arrested. You should be thrown in prison. But instead, our justice system is too worried about tracking down 72-year-old great-grandmothers who wander into the Capitol and say a prayer. We are more worried about the people in this country who do no wrong. Their only wrong is loving America. And the people in charge, the cowards, run cover for those who put us all in danger. Enough. Enough. Time to right the ship, ladies and gentlemen. Because this kind of insanity cannot be America's new normal. You must not be afraid to stand up and to be the hero. To be the person with logic and reason. To be the one adult in the room who's not afraid, because North is still North. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Wendy Bell Radio program, I want to talk to you about this. These elite schools, right? We're going to bounce from high school to these universities. Elite schools are showing their own cowardice as Columbia University goes into Zoom, right? Paying $66,000 a year because these people won't stand up to pro-Hamas sympathizers. Are you kidding me? Next. Don't go anywhere. It's this weird culture of coercion. Like if you get a mob of people behind you, all of a sudden your weak little insecure self feels a little bit more emblazoned, right? Emboldened. You're going to go out there and you're going to do things and say things that you might not do because you've got people behind you. This is mob rule. This is basically how we live, right? The loudest group that shows up gets what they want. Whether it should be that way. And this is what's going on at Columbia University. You've got kids who have been infiltrated by Antifa, professional agitators, people who do this for a living, who get called out on social media. Hey, we need some protesters. These people are compensated. This is a well-oiled machine. This isn't just some rando. Why is everybody walking around with these Palestinian signs and flags? It's so weird. Did Amazon have a sale? It's calculated. Did you guys hear about the professor, the Israeli professor, who was blocked from entering the campus at Columbia University? His name is Shai Davidi. He's barred from the area of anti-Israel encampments. That's called pro-Hamas chop zone. We're flashing back, ladies and gentlemen, to Seattle and Portland during the summer of love, when a bunch of ne'er-do-well losers who've contributed nothing to society, who've not done anything to contribute to anything that you and I care about or do, who are a drag on the system, who we have to pay to clean up after, who find it a-okay to rob, loot, steal, to set fire, to vandalize, to do whatever the Sam Hill they want. Because either their parents didn't spank them, they got participation trophies, they were bubble wrapped all their life, and this is the culmination of their experience on the college campuses of utter suck. This is 1938. This is what this Israeli professor, blocked from entering Columbia's main campus, had to say. The university's COO met him at the gates of the entrance to Columbia University, where he has kind of like a key card, right? Everybody's got to have a key card. You try to get into a college building anywhere, anymore in this country, if you're not on the system, if you're not in their computer base, you're not getting in. So they have the swipe cards, whatever, the magnetic cards. They deactivated his. Why? Why? Because we can't secure, we can't guarantee your protection. What a bunch of rat fink cowards. Who are these people? I want you to hear the exchange as Professor Shai Davidi finds out his key card doesn't work and there's security at the gate preventing him from getting in. Now, does that sound like something that somebody wanting to keep you safe does? Or does that sound like something somebody who sympathizes with terrorists would do? Listen, and then you decide. Here he is.
Media in, is the university keeping the media out? This is the COO of the university. Are we not letting the media in?
What?
Can you back up, please? My card has been deactivated? Yeah. Why?
Can you back up, please?
Uh-huh.
Wait. Whoa. Everybody, my card has been deactivated. This is Cass Holloway, the COO. This is Gerald Lewis. They were in the meeting where I asked them if Hamas is a terror organization, and they couldn't say that it is a terrorist organization. Why? I'm a professor. Why can't I?
Shai,
No. Speak out loud so the media
can hear. Shai, we are willing to take you to the math lawn.
No, I am a professor here.
We are columnists. We have a right.
Whoa. Everybody quiet. I am a professor here. I have every right to be everywhere on campus. You cannot let people that support Hamas on campus and me, a professor, not go on campus. Let me in now.
Let us in.
No.
Let Shai in.
Are you not letting a professor go on
campus? Let him in.
This is where we are.
And you know
what? Let Shai in.
Listen to this. I'm baffled that the COO, this guy named Cass Holloway, he's ready. He's got the police with him. He's going to keep this Israeli professor off this particular area because they can't control the suck. Now, let me ask you this. Much like Scott Smith, the father in Loudoun County, thought his daughter would go to school and be educated, would go to school and would learn the things that you and I learned about. She would go to school and she would be safe. The cowards in that school district in Virginia abandoned her. The same cowardice that we're seeing at the highest echelons of one of the elite schools in the United States of America. Why ever would anybody go there? Ever. They're showing you their cards. It's all open face for you to see. This is the culmination of indoctrination. When you make exceptions for terrorists and you block out people they wish to terrorize. No other way to slice it. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, this stuff on these college campuses, we got to talk about this. We're going to go inside. A sophomore at Columbia tells you what it's really like. Coming up next. Of course, the irony is not lost on anybody who's paying attention here in Realville. You have January 6th billed as the biggest thing since sliced bread. It was worse than the bombing of Pearl Harbor. It was worse than 9/11. Really? You got a bunch of people who really suck at overthrowing the government, right? I mean, who goes to overthrow the government and has no weapons? Let's do this, guys, right? Hey, Earl, get in here. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're done with this stupid government thing, right? So I think we're going to take it over, all right? So get some of your friends. Dress up in red, white, and blue. That will sneak in on them, right? Take no weapons, and let's see how far we go, okay? And break. Dumbest thing ever. And yet we've got hundreds of people right now in prison, many of whom have been there for 4 years. And yet, loser activist students who are being ginned up by paid Antifa enthusiasts have squatted on our college campuses and demand things. These are our lists of demands. Who the hell are you? Where is the grown-up? Where is the president? Well, that's a very curious question. See, this isn't just happening at Columbia. This isn't just happening at Yale or at Penn or at what have you, Harvard. And all these elite schools, oh, he went to Harvard. You know what? I'm going to roll my eyes now when somebody says they graduated from there. I'll be like, sucks for you. That's awful. Where's the leadership? Well, I want you to hear a series of audio sound bites. Yesterday, Fox had a student from Columbia University on with Harris Faulkner. And she was talking to this young man. He's probably 19 or 20. And his name is David Pomerantz. And she's about to introduce him. But first, she's laying out the basic predicate of this. Look, this isn't just these five elite schools. These protests, this madness, this Jew-hating, terror-loving, absolute nonsense is going on all over the place. And in the back of my mind, all I can think of is all of the January 6 hostages who didn't do anything. The grandmother who faces a year in prison for walking through the Capitol that day in a matter of 10 minutes, saying a prayer and walking out. Away with you, you terrible woman. How could you? Meanwhile, back at Columbia University, it's crazy 101. Here's Harris Faulkner setting up this story saying, you know what? This is a lot more pervasive all across these college campuses. Listen.
These anti-Israel protests have broken out all over at the top five ranked U.S. universities. Look at your screen. Princeton, MIT, Harvard, Stanford, Yale, and nearly half of the top 50. That is only counting just the past week.
Ew. And so she brings in this student, and he's going to basically paint the picture for you. We're just actually catching wind of this particular occupation. Apparently, there is a seedy underbelly of terror percolating in the halls, in the classrooms, and in the quads of universities across America. How long have they been planting the seeds of hate? How long have they been grooming these young people to ditch everything, to go be activists? And for what? Listen to this student. Audio soundbite number two.
What I'm experiencing right now is a state of chaos. A state of disorder. The university is, you know, no longer become a place where students can learn and study and prepare for finals. It's instead become the home of these rabid anti-Israel protests. We have an encampment, as you mentioned, which is filled not just with students, but with outside agitators. I was talking to a Columbia public safety agent yesterday who told me that he can guarantee for a fact that there are people inside those tents on the campus who are not students, who have no affiliation with the university, who are chanting to attack and kill Jewish students.
They're chanting to attack and kill Jewish students. Can you imagine if somebody said that about a black person? Can you imagine if instead of an encampment demanding the persecution, the tracking, the killing of Jews, we were to go out and say, you know what? It's the black people. Let's go. Are you out of your mind? This mob mentality, as long as you're on the side with the numbers, as long as you're riding that wave of anger and you're not in the victim class, hey, okay, whatever. And this young student, who I would imagine is indicative of the caliber of education you get at any of these elite institutions. This young man says this is normal. This is what life is like going to college now. What? What are we paying for? In this audio soundbite, he says they just don't hate the Jews, though. Listen.
The contempt that these protesters have is not just limited to Israel and Zionists. I'm there on the ground. I'm listening to them every day. They hate the United States. Yeah. There's a lot of venom towards the police officers who were there, the public safety agents chanting vile, vile chants towards them. They had a list of demands, and they said, if these demands aren't met, we're not leaving. The demands as it related to divestment of Israel got a lot of public attention, but one of their demands was to eliminate and defund the Columbia Public Safety Department. And I think that speaks to their ideology. They want no public safety agents on our campus.
Isn't it so curious how this is a little microcosm of the whole defund the police movement, right? You need to have an event. You need George Floyd. You need to have Israel to hate, to allow people who are ne'er-do-wells, who do nothing except agitate, it's what they get paid to do, to set up, to create the ingredients of the stew of suck that brings other people into it. And then, of course, in addition to that, you have to demand that there's no protection for anybody around you. Away with the police. Of course you need the cops gone. How better to control people? Get rid of law enforcement, and then you can run roughshod on anybody. But it's not just they want the campus police gone. The president of the University of Columbia University has said to the New York Police Department, you're not allowed on our campus. Now, I got to ask you this. Don't you believe that if you're a parent of a child who goes to Columbia University, you ought to demand your money back and get your kid out of their stat? Do you think that online learning through the end of the year, which is their answer to the agitators, it's not about going in there full force with police and water cannons and rubber bullets and saying, I pity the fool who wants to fiddle with the cops, because we will take you out. We will not kill you, maybe, but we're going to hurt you because we've warned you. This is not where this happens. No more money for any of these schools. Listen to David Pomeranz's final soundbite.
So the NYPD is no longer allowed on campus. That's right. A decision that's been made by the president. So they're basically there to keep the peace and monitor what's happening, but they're pretty limited in terms of what they can do.
Are they armed?
No.
How are they keeping the peace?
Standing around, you know, telling me they wish they could do more.
Tell me this isn't January 6th. Tell me this isn't the National Guard. The National Guard weren't allowed to have body armor. They weren't allowed to have shields. They weren't allowed to have weapons. And they weren't dispatched until after January 6th had already happened, hours later. Do you see the same parallels? All of these little microcosms. And I lied, it wasn't his only soundbite or his last soundbite. She asks him a very interesting question. Harris Faulkner says to this sophomore at Columbia University, this culture that you've been baked into for far too long, you know some of the kids who are calling death to Jews. How sobering is that to know that people who were your friends can be so ugly and so dark? Listen.
I'd say I'm disappointed, but I'm not shocked, because I can feel the ideology. I can feel the venom. It's been building up for quite a while. I think this is indicative of their broader worldview. They don't think that the United States is a force for good. They'll cheer on our enemies like Iran and Hamas and the Houthis over us. So it's disappointing, but it's not shocking. I'll tell you
that. It's disappointing, but it's not shocking, because it's been going on for far too long. Where are the adults? They're all cowards. You've got echelons of cowardice. You've got people like the COO, this Cass Holloway schmuck, right? Who's obviously in on it in some way, the same way the feds were in on January 6th. Then you've got your next layer of complacency or complicitness. Failure to act because we're worried. I don't want to get canceled. I don't want to get fired. I don't want to lose my tenure. I sure as hell don't want to get doxxed. Really? Yeah. This is the culture that the left has created since Donald Trump left office. It was well in play. And again, I'll go back to the number one person behind all of this, Barack Obama. Barack Obama. Laying the groundwork, planting the seeds of discord, training the agitators, lighting the flame, shaking it up, and letting it go. And so now we have people on college campuses who feel like their lives are in danger. And would anybody out there be at all shocked if Roseanne Boyland could be beaten to death by a Capitol Police officer who was later exonerated for beating her to death? If that can happen, and hundreds of innocent people can be thrown in prison and not get a fair trial, do you think anything real is going to happen to these clowns? Get out of the pool. Get your kids back. It's the only play. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, well, it appears the FBI is kind of selective in its spying. Lester Holt with Chris Ray, two winners last night, talking about how the FBI monitors these problems on college campuses. Oh boy, this will make your face melt off. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So we have the FBI. They spy on everybody, right? They spy on Catholics. No, we didn't do that. We didn't have some kind of a weird memo encouraging our undercover agents to kind of get in with the Catholic Church and start spying on people in the pews. That's a big misunderstanding. We would never do that. They didn't spy on parents. Never, ever, ever, ever. They don't use banks like Bank of America and others to give financial information over to the feds to then track down January 6 attendees, regardless of where you were, what you did. You're in the crosshairs because the government is desperate. And you are going to be the victim of it. Ew. So when Chris Ray appeared with Lester Holt on NBC News, two clods of epic nature, wouldn't you think that the FBI would be plugged into these agitators on college campuses? Don't you think these institutions of higher learning, where you have a captive audience, many students, particularly lower classmen on college campuses, who are stuck living on campus in dorms or mods or whatever they are, who are stuck in that epicenter, that perimeter of, this is where I live. Don't you think that the FBI would kind of be plugged into what's going on there? No. We don't do that. We're really not interested in that, says Christopher. I was like, wait, what? So this is the story, NBCNews.com. See, apparently the FBI only is interested in conservatives and people who love liberty, people who believe in faith and family and who love freedom. Now you're worth investigating, but these clowns who are shutting down on-campus education because they suck, you're not going to pay any attention to them? Christopher Ray tells NBC News Lester Holt, the FBI doesn't really monitor campus protests, but it does share intelligence about specific threats of violence with law enforcement. Do you guys get the idea that the entire federal law enforcement apparatus isn't intended at all to keep us or the homeland safe in any regard? It's merely to go after those of us who speak out when we see things going wrong, because that's how I'm seeing it. You lock up the Patriots on January 6th. Did some get out of hand? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there justice that should be served in that regard? Absolutely. Is justice no more? Absolutely. Listen to Chris Ray answering questions from Lester Holt. I am incredulous about this. Go.
There's an environment right now we're seeing play out on some college campuses, the protests over what's happening in Gaza. Are you watching that warily? Are you concerned about threats emanating from these demonstrations?
Well, of course, demonstrations themselves are not something that we, the FBI, get involved in.
Unless it's January 6th.
Violence ensues, that's when we get concerned, when you have threats of violence. And so we have seen, even before October 7th, we saw a significant increase, especially in anti-Semitic threats and anti-Semitic violence. And since October 7th, that number has gone up quite substantially.
Are you actively monitoring these protests?
We don't monitor protests, but we do share intelligence about specific threats of violence with campuses, with state and local law enforcement, but we don't monitor protests.
So basically, we're not doing anything. We're not here to help anybody. We're not here to keep the peace. We don't monitor protests, but we do stir them up. When months before January 6th happened, we send undercover agents to the doors of leaders and Oath Keepers and Proud Boys and try to get them over onto our side to be an informant for us, to be kind of like, what's his face? What was his name? What's the guy?
Luna?
No. The guy who's a Fed and they protected.
Ray Epps?
Yes, Ray Epps. Thank you very much. My 54-year-old mind. We'll protect Ray Epps. We will use Ray Epps. We will stir the pot. We'll shake up the jar of ants, the red and the black ants, so that everybody fights each other. That's what we'll do. And we'll imprison peaceful people. But the agitators, nah. So at base level here, and we can peel all of this off of it, all of this agitation is predicated on October 7th. Do you mean to tell me that all of these students and the other people who've come in and squatted on college campuses because they need a reason to be angry and that's it? They're okay with 1,200 people being murdered? They're okay with women being sexually assaulted in front of their children and then murdered in front of their kids, who are then murdered as well? They're okay with people being burned alive in their homes? Stories of little babies being put in the oven? How barbaric. How off the charts barbaric. What happened? What happened to people? What happened to anybody? Where are the parents? I don't know. I don't know, but it was that day when I saw the picture of Scott Smith, a parent in Loudoun County, Virginia, his face bloodied because he'd been tackled to the ground for speaking out at a school board meeting. Advocating against letting trans students use the girls' bathroom. Why? Because his daughter got raped by a boy there. And he gets roughed up and tackled and handcuffed and dragged away like a criminal. It's opposite day. We're constantly living groundhog opposite day, where good people are locked up and bad people can do whatever the hell they want, and the cowards let it happen. Hour number two, let's talk about the cowards in our classrooms, obviously failing our kids. I'm going to take you to Eastern Pennsylvania, a story you will not believe, next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.